Oh, Carl.
Did you see Cardi B's?
No.
Cardi B's ASMR.
I thought you were just.
She was like this. Oh, Carl.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Finer Things Club, where we discuss our favorite books in a very civilized way. My name is Zoe Banaja. I'm your host, and I'm here today with Isabel and Kaylee. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
I have known both of these people since they were 3 years old. Fun fact.
Three? What the fuck?
I mean, oh my God.
One of them is Kaylee, and
she's lying, Your Honor.
It's been 5 years. Or, I mean, I was five.
Whatever. You were like, okay, at least four. But, you know, whatever. And we are going to do Lemony Snicket's series, A Series of Unfortunate Events. It would be nice if I knew how to say the name of the book. And we're doing the first book, which is The Bad Beginning. And we're going to get started with a summary of the book. If you had never read it before, or you only saw the TV show or the movie starring Jim Carrey. And Isabel's going to do that for us today. I got an actual child to be in this episode. Woo-hoo! Because I thought it would be important. And here she is. Isabel's going to give us a summary. She wrote it down on a bag.
A Panera bread bag.
Oh, wait. It's going to take 60 seconds. That's the rule. Are you ready, Iz?
No.
I believe in you. It's all good. Hold on. Let's scroll it down. All right. Ready? Go.
A Series of Unfortunate Events is a story about three young children and how their families...
No!
Why?
I know.
It's about how their family suffered a terrible death. And how they meet a man named Count Olaf and how he is a terrible man who later becomes their adoptive father. They meet a woman named Justice Strauss, and she is a nice woman who offers her library as a token of friendship. The children are forced into a play, which is actually a staged marriage between Count Olaf and Violet. This happens while the youngest sibling is being held outside of a tower. And, the paper is signed incorrectly. That was a terrible summary.
It's okay, go for it.
And the children are given an opportunity, which is whipped away from them at the last minute when they are adopted by somebody new.
Okay. 2 seconds to spare. That was pretty good.
Can I do a summary without a timer?
No. I mean, sure. What else? What do you miss? What are you missing?
Everything.
No, we heard it. What parts are you missing, do you think?
The part where... Yeah, I think I got everything in a jumbled mess.
Nah, I think...
That was amazing.
It was perfect. Maddie's here. That's Isabel's little sister. I didn't just kidnap a child.
I'm Isabel's little sister.
Here's a child.
Here's a child. I just got it. Oh, cool. And so, yeah, Maddie, you think you got that? That was...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good job. Good job, Isabel. So that's what... The story is about, in a small sense, that's what the plot is about. But what do you two think this story is about in a big sense? Let's call it a big A. Like, what is the story trying to tell you? The themes?
I feel like the story is, like, about how some things for people aren't just, like, all rainbows and money. It's just suffering.
I've never heard that saying before.
It's not all rainbows and money.
It's not all rainbows and money.
Come on.
Read Lemony Snicket. Kaylee, what'd you think?
I think that it was supposed to be like, you know, when you watch like movies and stuff and there's always going to be a happy ending and there's just always going to be like, you just kind of know what's always going to happen. And I feel like with this book, they're just trying to make it more like real life. Like, things are going to, justice is going to be brought to, like, bad situations, but it's going to happen again. And, you know, just life is unfair, kind of. But
I think that is pretty fair to say.
I basically said the same thing she did.
Honestly, I loved both answers. It was great. I also had the idea that, like, knowledge is power, because, like, all of the adult characters were really dumb.
Yeah, being resourceful, basically, too, was a really big part of it.
Yeah, because they read, and that's, like, a great thing for them. And then I have reading is great and makes you smart enough to.
Yeah, you know, I was like trying to read this and I was like, wow, I haven't read a book in a while. I'm super like dumb. Like I can't read this. And I kept like getting distracted every like 5 seconds.
Kaylee sent a text message like 2 hours before we were supposed to come in.
Gagney.
And she's like, oh, I didn't read the book. Can we do it another time? And I was like, no.
Maddie was literally like, Zoe said no. And I was like, shit. Schmidt.
Kaylee's working hard to watch the language for this episode. And I also had the idea that, like, no one's going to save you. No one in the story is ever going to help these orphans. They have to do it all by themselves, which, you know, is part of the sad thing. So what would you guys rate this book out of 5?
5? Yeah, because it shows us how life is, basically, for some people.
Kaylee?
I don't know. Maybe, like, in between, like I'm 50-50 on it, because I love a good happy ending, but like at the same time, it's kind of like the book everyone needed, just because it's not the same as every other book. It's just unique. So
no number?
50-50.
3 or 2?
Half. 3, 2.
I think 2.5.
2.5. Dang. All right. I think I'm also going to give it a 3. It's not, I wouldn't list it as my favorite child novel. That's not right either. But I do think it has like a special emotion that like a lot of books don't have. It's like very melancholy, which I don't think happens a lot.
But you know, a lot of children books are kind of like sad, but they just end happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, The Little Princess or whatever is kind of a similar like thing to it, where she's like an orphan and she has to like imagine that she's like
a princess.
Yeah. And I think that they really had to like imagine that they weren't, that all this stuff didn't happen to them. And like, you know, but at the same time they were accepting it because they were trying to get themselves out of it, but they never just, I don't know. They never fully like accepted it. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Did you, have either of you read the book before?
No, I think this was my first time. Maybe, like, my teacher read it to me and I forgot about it.
Yeah, this was my first time reading this book.
Did you ever watch the movie, or... Are you okay?
No.
Get more wine?
No, she's not okay.
Isn't it a Netflix series now?
Yeah it is. Jeez. Let me take a break. Okay, we're back. So, it is a Netflix series. Do you see it at all?
I just kind of saw it on the top of my book. There was a sticker that said, now a Netflix series. I'm just trying to make conversation here.
Did you watch the one with Jim Carrey? Like, it was like 2008 or something like
that. No, but I love Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a TV show. And I'm sorry, Isabel, did I ask you, did you watch the show?
No.
Do you think you will?
Maybe now. No, of course I didn't watch it. I just read the book.
Sisterly feuds.
Do you think that you will now?
Yeah.
Do you want to read the book? Are you going to read the rest of the series?
I'll see if I have it at the library. But if they do, then yeah, I'll read it.
Well, I was wondering, because when I first asked you to do the show, you wanted to do something that was more young adult. And I think it's really interesting, this idea of like children not reading children's literature anymore. So what sort of thing do you read if you're not reading? Because this is what I was interested in when I was your age.
Right now I'm like really into young adult romance.
Mm-hmm.
So like high school loves or like high school sweethearts.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, how they deal with conflict and how they solve the conflict or like how the high school life in general is, or how authors see it as.
Okay. So you're not really interested in like a child's kind of thing where there's like no romance in this.
Yeah.
Interesting. But you gave it a 5.
Yeah. It was a good book. I admit that. I feel like there was more. I feel like there was some sensory detail to like show that something bad has happened to like Count Olaf or something that made him this way.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's what I was thinking too, actually. That's so funny. Because I was thinking like, what made him be so like evil? Like, why doesn't he have any feelings? Like,
I mean, honestly, that's always been the best part about the series to me is that you don't see it so much in this book, but there's 13 of them all together, and there's 13 chapters in each book. That's unlucky number. And the story really focuses like on the orphans, of course, but like it goes into like the backgrounds of like this secret, spoiler alert, there's like a secret society that their parents were in and like Count Olaf is in, and like there's all these questions, and also the narrator, which is my favorite part of the series, Lemony Snicket, is a part of this like this secret society. And like, you know, this the saddest part for me is that this is the sound of pages turning. At the beginning of each book, he says, like, oh, this is to my dearest Beatrice, who is dead, or...
Darling, what is
it? It was find it like, for me is.
It's over here. It says, darling, dearest, dead.
To Beatrice. And so, like, she is part of the story, you know. I think it's really cool that the narrator is also, like, a part of this series.
Also, did they name their kid, like, Edgar Poe on purpose?
Which Poe?
Because you know how Mr. Poe's, like, son's mm-hmm. name were Albert and Edgar?
A lot of the characters
is
are...
Is he, like, friends with him or something?
No, my dear.
They're besties.
Yeah, Edgar Allan Poe and Lemony Snicket loved each other. No, Lemony Snicket, the author, named a lot of the characters after, like, spooky authors.
Yeah, like I could tell that this had like an Edgar Allan Poe like vibe to it too.
Yeah, there was like it's gothic. It's kind of, somebody described it as like similar to Edward Scissorhands. They called it suburban gothic, which is super interesting.
Like modern?
Yeah, kind of modern gothic, which is
like relatable gothic.
Relatable gothic.
Like I relate.
Yeah, for sure. So did you, Kaylee, what's your experience with children's literature? It sounds like you read a lot, like, of classics, right?
Mm-mm. I don't read, like, ever anymore. I'm like, so ADD, but, but I, honestly, reading this book made me want to read the rest of the series because it ends in such a way that you're, like, I think it's just human nature to, like, hold on to hope and mm-hmm. be, like, no, like, there has to be some kind of justice in this. And it kind of keeps you, like, it keeps you onto the series and makes you want to, like, finish it, you know?
Because you hope. I mean, honestly, that's what, I never finished it, but I couldn't because it was just.
Sad. But while I was watching, while I was reading it, while I was watching it, I'm like, while I was reading it, I was just kind of like, dude, this shit is depressing, sorry. But it was just really sad, like, and I was like, when is this gonna end? Like, when is it gonna be happier? But he was clearly saying it's not gonna get happier, but I was mm-hmm. like, he's just saying that, like, this is gonna get happier. And then when I was reading the end, I was like, see? But then it got worse again. So it was just kind of like, I think it does something to your emotions, like, it's like a roller coaster, and I feel mm-hmm. like I like that. It's kind of like something about it keeps me holding on to the series.
Yeah, because you want to believe, like, no way, this mm-hmm. is not, that's not how. Especially because it's so short. I don't know, like when I was younger, it took me a while to read them, but like
it was weird how much stuff happened in that little amount of time.
Yeah, he's very skilled. He's so skilled at like making.
I was like, there's no way that this ending is coming soon, because I was on the last chapter and I was mm-hmm. like, there's no way. But it happened in a really nice, like, he executed it really well.
Yeah, it's very fast-paced. And honestly, I feel like if you sat down, you could really read all 13 books in, like, one day. And so, I don't remember what my original point was, but yes, you could do that.
I liked the book.
I liked it. That was, so what do you think makes this story a success? Why is this something that people keep reading?
because like I said, it was just, it's kind of like human nature to like something like this, mm-hmm. you know? It's like it ends in a way that it's like, oh, what is going to happen next? It's like if you're watching your favorite TV series and it just ends at like a terrible time, you want to see like what happens next to see the happy ending, you know?
Yeah.
And with this, it's like it doesn't just end in one book and then on to the next. It's like the whole series really is just one, you know?
Yeah. And like you haven't read the other books, but like they really start off like right where the next one left off. Mm-hmm. So like in the next one, they're being
so like, they don't just be like 10 years later. Yeah, like no, it's no, really no. just like
or right like after. You know how Harry Potter's like the next summer is this. So it's like all one thing at a time.
I always thought the series of unfortunate events were like all different stories of like unfortunate things, and I was like, that's dumb. I don't want to like. But is it all about the three kids?
Yeah.
Then that's something I'd be interested in reading, honestly. Because you get involved in, like, these kids' like lives and stuff, and you want to know what happens to them. And
Yeah. Isabel, why do you think people keep reading?
Well, I mean, I feel like they just want to know how somebody else's life is different from theirs and why they're suffering. Or, like...
like, being empathetic, maybe?
Yeah,
like-
but, like, they just want to figure out, like, how and why people are suffering in their life or, like, what caused this suffering to them.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think what is really successful about this series is that, like, because one of my complaints is that it's very formulaic. Each book is basically the same thing. Like, they get sent to a new guardian. The guardian is, like, kind of nice. And you're like, oh, this could be good. And then Count Olaf comes and they're like, this is Count Olaf. And the guardian's like, no, 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 you guys are dumb. And they're like, no, it is. And then the guardian gets murdered. And, like, then they had to go to someone else. And I don't know what it is, though, like, in some of the books, I truly reading it was like, this time I think it might work. Like, this time I think they're mm-hmm. it's gonna happen. But, like,
every time. It was such time, a good plan,
yeah,
you know?
And, like, these characters aren't even, like, that's my other complaint. The characters, like, is at least in... From book to book, there's not really any character development. Like, you know,
Violet, everyone's the same.
Everyone's the same. I think I was reading some, like, the.
But you like that. I think I remember you saying something about how you hate. I know, you just said you hate when people, like, randomly are like, I'm brave. Yeah. When they've been, like, the shy, like, yeah. You know.
I mean, you have to earn your character development, but, like,
true.
It is very, like, you know, this is just us watching stuff happen to three characters like
archetypes. That have been sweet from the start. Yeah, like, why are they deserve
we've always been smart and good at these things, and now look at us now. And but even with that, like, you still are like, oh, like, I wish that this guardian didn't die.
I think the series was much about doing the right thing, mm-hmm. even though that you're expectations like might be that everything's gonna be perfect if you do the right thing, blah, 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 blah. But I think it's supposed to be like show that even if you do the right thing, and this book is like a lot about honor, I feel like, and just mm-hmm. doing the right thing. But I think it's supposed to show you that even when you do the right thing, you're not always gonna get the, like, you know, best end of the stick, you know,
but it's still important.
But it's still like the right thing to do and to be resourceful and kind and, like, you know, all this stuff. And just because someone else might win doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And also it kind of calls you out on, like, bad characteristics about yourself.
Mm. In my opinion. What do you mean by that?
I feel like since it's so much about honor and, like, doing the right thing, it kind of calls you out on being a bad person sometimes. Like, even when it was, like, talking about how their friends all left them behind. Like, they didn't even talk to them. And they were like, you would never do that, would you?
Yeah.
And it was kind of, like, making people question themselves, you know? Like, would you do that?
Mm-hmm. Good point. I think that, like, the strong parts are like these themes that are like, it's very thick on the themes. Like, you know exactly what
they're trying to teach you.
And this fast paced, like, did you guys think was funny, Isabel? Were you laughing?
Some parts got me laughing, like, in the middle of nowhere. Like, I just reread some lines and I'm like, whoa, that's actually pretty funny. And then, like, there's some interesting parts. And, like, one of the chapters, there's like a part where it was talking about Klaus. Klaus? Is that how you pronounce it?
I would say Klaus.
Klaus? And it was like he was reading the line over and over again. And then like it repeated it three times. So it felt like you were the one who was
reading it. Yeah, I was like, wait, is this right?
And I was like reading it over and over again for some dumb reason.
The joke was, for our listeners, the joke was that Klaus was reading a book for so long that he got tired. And he was rereading the same lines over and over again. And then the narrator repeated the line. He was rereading the same lines over and over again, like three times. So you, as the reader, were like, oh, ha ha ha.
Like, that's how he felt.
Like that. I understand. And then it's very absurdist, which is a really cool thing to read in a book because, which I mean, like, it's silly and like, things happen in the story you're like, oh, that doesn't make sense, but you still are like, okay, like you buy it,
like cursive writing with your left hand.
Yeah, it's like absurd.
You know, I totally didn't think the book was funny at all. I keep trying to call it a movie or episode. I didn't think it was funny at all. I was actually really mad the whole time. I was like, this is so stupid, I hate this. But the only thing I thought was funny was like how proud the girl was. What was her name?
Violet.
I almost called her Dorothy. Yeah, I loved how proud she was of her invention. I love that you get a glimpse of her characteristics other than just being like some sweet, nice, like she, girl. She was being like, no, this invention worked. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah. Because Klaus was like, I'm sorry that your invention didn't work.
And she was like, yeah, it did.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, because like.
I love that pride in her because it was the only characteristic that wasn't just being polite and like, you know.
Yeah, I did notice in the beginning he.
And Klaus had a temper on him and I liked that.
He did have a temper on him. But Violet was described three times as being nervous, which I thought was like, you know, just slipped in characteristics. Did you pick up anything on the characters other than, oh, they're smart?
For like Sunny, I feel like she kind of just showed everything in just screaming. So like in the book, they describe like what her unintelligible screaming sounds were. So like one of them was like, I think it was like ba, and it translated.
Honestly,
to,
it was super deep.
It translated to I want to do this too, and then like the minute she like got scared, she wouldn't buy anything when Count Olaf picked her up.
I feel like it also showed that like the children understood her so well because they were taking care of her all the time. Like even from the beginning, they were like young and they like took the baby to like the beach, right? Like yeah. By themselves. I think that it was trying to show like how well they knew the baby too.
Yeah. Interesting. So what do you think was a failure of this book?
As you said earlier, I think it was the character development. Because, like, I feel like throughout these events, they would have gotten, like, instead of being scared of Count Olaf, they would have gone, like, okay, we know that he has a temper. We know he has this kind of strategy. They would have, like, built up on what they know of him instead of just, like, being scared the entire time or, like, being nervous.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that was one of the most frustrating parts of the story to me is when, like, so Count Olaf, he hatches this plan to, like, he's like, I'm going to trick everybody into legally allowing me to marry Violet so I can get their money. And nobody, like, they were like, we don't understand what he's doing. And then Klaus figures it out. And the first
and
thing
he
does.
Oh, my God. I was just about to say, I think the biggest fail is when Klaus said that dumb stuff about, like, his plan, his big plan. And I think it's, like, the Scorpio in us because we're just like, shut up. Like, hold that information to yourself.
He's like, I figured out Count Olaf's plan. I'm going to go downstairs and tell.
I was so mad.
He waited for him in the kitchen.
I'm so glad you brought that up because.
That was very stupid.
Yes, queen. That made me so mad.
He, like, you know, like, if you, the, I don't know. It was very dumb. So, yeah.
I really wanted to fight him. I was like.
It didn't make sense.
You dummy.
But yeah, I think the character development issue is what stops this because a lot of people really, really like this series. But like this is what stops it from being like, at least to me, like a Harry Potter, where like this is something that like I feel really connected to the characters. Because I don't care about those three characters. The character that I care about most, honestly, is Lemony Snicket, the narrator. I think he has the most compelling story arc. And, like, that's kind of sad in a way. Like, I honestly, I'm like, yeah, it's sad that, like, sad things are happening to the children, but I don't know them and I don't really care about them. Whereas, like, you're like, oh, Harry.
Yeah, so you're a sociopath. Just kidding.
Yeah, I'm a sociopath, but end of show. Kaylee, what do you think are, like, failures of this story?
That was literally the only point I was going to bring up was I think the biggest fail is literally Klaus being a little, like, but I think the whole point of that was, like, Klaus isn't street smart. Like, he's just book smart, you know? He's like Hermione, you know? He was like, oh, like, I'm going to learn all these things from these books and stuff. And Violet, it was kind of instinct to just know things a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, she just wasn't, she was kind of more street smart than Klaus, for sure.
All right, I feel that. I also, I brought up the fact in my notes that I think that this story can be kind of simple for an adult. Like, I think when I started reading all of them all the way through, I think I was in middle school or maybe a little older, maybe high school, I don't know. But, like, I couldn't read them all. Like, I wish that I had read them when I was younger because I think I would have been, like, more into them. But now, because, like, the plot is so repetitive in each book, like, it's, like, difficult to keep with it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's that. Did either of you read any, like, other children's novels that were, like, series-based?
I
read The Magic Treehouse.
Yeah, I
read probably just Twilight and, like, Twilight's the typical Harry Potter. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they
what
have, like,
do you mean?
They, okay, yeah.
Even I know about it.
Even?
Yeah, I'm so dumb. Like, bang.
Bang.
Oh, Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson. Did you read those?
Yeah.
Junior
Jones. Loved it. I was supposed to say Confessions of a Shopaholic. That was so not a children's.
Did you read them all? I read the first one.
I don't know. I don't remember if I read them all, but I remember, like, being super engrossed in them and reading at least, like, three of the books.
Interesting.
They were really good books, honestly.
They were fun. Well, I mean, like, Junie B. Jones, to say what Isabel was talking about, I feel like, I mean, I don't know. This is not me talking from, like, this is me talking about my feelings. I don't know. I don't know what really the characteristics are, but I feel like there's, like, a difference between, like, a chapter book series where you're like, okay, here's, I used to like, you know, Harry, Horrible Harry. That was one of my favorite chapter books growing up.
I don't even remember Horrible Harry.
It was just about this kid who had a crush on a little Asian girl, and he, like, made
a little
Asian
girl.
Yeah, I loved them. And, yeah, it would just be, like, little short things.
I need me a Harry.
Lecture.
Ew, you made me, like...
like Magic Treehouse and stuff, but then there's, like, series.
Oh,
like,
I read that actually,
like, Percy Jackson or Harry Potter or Narnia, where there's, like, a series that, like, they kind of connect. And
what, you read Narnia?
I think I read the first book of Narnia.
Did you read the Rings? It was the Magician's Nephew or the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
I think I read that one too, but I barely remember.
Guys, I love Narnia. I love Narnia. That's not what this episode's about, so we don't have to talk about it. But yeah, I think that this is definitely up there with, like, children's series that people were, like, reading. But anyway, let's take a break. Hello, we're back. And we're going to talk a little bit about the adults in the book, who are, like, all dumb, because that's one of the themes in the book. Adults are dumb.
I can agree.
Yeah, children are smart and adults are dumb. Adults don't know anything.
Yeah, especially when kids tell them things to their face. I mean, sometimes it was frustrating because, like, there's scenes in the book where they're like, oh, why don't we tell Justice Strauss, who...
Yeah, they finally had enough, like, courage.
Yeah, they were like, let's tell her that we're being abused by this man. I feel like she'd be, in, like, into helping us. And they're like, nah, we're not going to tell her. Which is, like, you know, not their fault as, like, abused people. But, like, as a character, you're like, that's not good logic. That doesn't help your situation. Mm-hmm. So that was frustrating. Because
they would never just be like, we're being abused. We're being abused. Like, they wouldn't just, like, keep saying it, you know? Like, if Mr. Poe didn't hear them the first time, they would just be like, oh.
Yeah, okay. It was straight up like, I think he just didn't hear me.
Yeah.
like, okay, like, your brother literally has a bruise across his face because of, like, you know, and you won't say it a second time. Like,
yeah.
But it's true that they were just dumb and not even taking the time to, like, you know, even listen. And yeah. I think that was also a part of the story. And it's, I feel like that's, like, a recurring, like, theme.
Yeah.
In children's stories where the adults aren't listening to their kids or kids in general.
Because I think that that's, like, something that children feel a lot, that they're not being listened to. Isabel, do you ever feel like you're not being listened to?
All the time.
All the time. Did you connect with did you connect with the orphans in that way?
I feel like I connected to Sunny because nobody can tell what I'm saying.
I mean, yeah. Like, okay, this is what I meant to ask you. And then we'll go back to the concept about adults. Do you feel like you were, this book was, like, for your age group?
I mean, yeah. I feel like a lot of students, when I brought this to school, I feel like a lot of students were interested in it and, like, they feel like they could have connected to it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, somebody would have, like, read it and they'd go, like, okay, yeah, this is a book that could relate to us because we're unheard by the adults and they don't want to listen to us because they just think we're screaming all the time and being annoying with Fortnite dances.
But really, the Fortnite dances mean something.
Yeah, we're trying to, it's a subliminal message.
We're trying to communicate.
Yeah, yeah. And so did you feel like, and maybe I asked you this in a form already, but do you feel that, like, comparing this, reading this book to reading, like, one of your teenage romance novels, like, what do you feel you connect to more?
I feel like I kind of connect to the, this novel or, like, children's novels because they're kind of, like, relating to my kind of age groups or, like, the people around me and school. And, like, the teenage romance, I feel like that's never going to happen anytime soon. I'm, like, 12.
She just turned 12. She's a Sag, guys.
Oh, my God, you're a Sag. I love it.
Sag.
I am a Sag.
Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
No, but I feel like I will connect to the Lemony Snicket stuff.
Well, so then why do you think you skipped? Well, what did you read before young adult? Or were you reading?
No, I wasn't really reading at all. I feel like I read, like, Mockingjay, and then I stopped reading that stuff, like the Hunger Games.
Okay.
And then I stopped reading for a while, and then I started picking up slowly on young adult romance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, and then you mentioned this book to me, and I was like, okay, I'll read it. I probably won't like it, but I'll read it. And I ended up liking it a lot.
So why do you think you skipped, the children's?
I feel like children's books for me are, like, kind of a little bit too childish.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can understand why people are feeling a certain way in, like, the young adults novels. Because, like, my teacher taught me how to read sensory details or how to understand sensory details or, like, reading in between the lines. And, I felt like the young adult novels were a bit better for me.
Probably more stimulating for you, too.
Yeah.
Like, for your brain.
Shut up.
You told her so. I didn't get it, but okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. So, what is an example?
So you can learn how to edit.
I'll work on it. Okay. What's an example of a child's novel you thought was too childish for you?
I feel like, what's it called? Treehouse.
Okay, but
that's
like,
understandable.
There is like a whole like version of children's literature that is like less childish than that, and like knowing that that exists. And you said you read off mic. You said that you read the first Narnia or the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So would you be interested in like looking at more stuff like that? Or
yeah.
Okay, so you know. There's other stuff. I think it's important to read that stuff now because, like I said also off mic, that, like, you get too old for it and then it's, like, not as fun to read anymore. Like, reading something as a child that is meant for you as a child and then reading it as an adult is, like, you know, like, obviously, if it's a good book, it's a good book, but, like, it'll land more, I think, if you read it at the right
age. I feel like it just doesn't feed, like, their brains anymore because they like have read all the same like, you know, like messages and like, you know.
I think kids don't know. I don't think they know about like.
Oh, so they're just like, I want to learn about the new cool stuff.
I think that like, I don't know what's going on in middle schools, but like, you know, I think I had to, like, I started reading children's literature because I thought it was, like, cute to do, you know?
And it ended up becoming, like, a real hobby.
Yeah, because it was really important to me, like, as a young reader. I was like, I want to read all the things that people talk about. Like, because I hate, to this day, I hate when, like, somebody being like, oh, did you read this book? And I'm like, no. I'm
like, yeah, like, you have to say it.
No, I didn't.
I wish I did, but
yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah, like, I'm going to go home and read it and then ask me again next week.
Because then you missed out on a whole conversation. Yeah. But I feel like for me, I learned, like, I liked reading or I started learning to like reading because you were always reading. Because
of me.
And literally, she would just, like, stay in her room like a little madman and just like read for like 10 hours straight with like no food or water. I don't know how. She was like so gross, but like but yeah, like I literally had to like, you know, start reading because like what am I gonna do, you know? And just like,
you're at my house.
Yeah, so I was just like, okay, I guess I'll read too. And it ended up becoming like a fun thing for me too.
Yeah, I mean, like, we had like to talk more about me and Kaylee as children because that's what this show's about. We would go to the library after school every day and, like, just stay there until closing. And, like, the library ladies really liked us and they would give us candy sometimes.
Oh, the
and
watermelon Sour Patch. I
think about that all the time. That was the only time she gave us candy, actually.
If we would stay.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, she gave us candy once. And so, yeah, it was, like, reading to me was really important. But I think that without that, I wouldn't have really, like, known about children's literature. And so I think it's really interesting that, like, for Isabel, who I know your older sister, Maddie, who's in the room, is she reads. So I feel as if, like, you started reading what she was reading rather than going and, like, you know, finding the children's literature that, like, maybe you wouldn't even know about at all. I don't know. That's me talking. So, Kaylee, what do you listen to? What do you read? I mean, when you are reading.
Honestly, don't read a lot, like I said, but I feel like I did have a point on, like, the whole reading kids' books, mm-hmm. because I feel like when you get older, reading pig books, reading kid books too. Get, like, a lot more rewarding because you learn things that and you have a hard time coping with things and you realize, like, you just have to go back to your roots and, like, you yeah. know, and just read things from your childhood. And even the smallest lessons that you learn when you're a kid that you thought, like, oh, that's so dumb, like, people just keep telling me these things, mm-hmm. you know, you realize, like, how true they are when you get older because like, even me and Ellie, what were we watching, like, Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs or yeah. something, and it was so deep and we were like, wow, if kids were watching this right now, they would have no clue.
Yeah,
but to us, it's like we've been through things, I guess, so, like, you know, obviously kids go through things too, but I feel like adults, they try to process it. And so reading books like this, it's like, it's kind of invigorating, you know? It's like, okay, like this is like the main message of this story, you know? And I feel like I'm learning something when I read stuff like this.
Yeah. Yeah, reading's fun. And so going back to the point that I started this segment with before changing the subject abruptly, you guys said you wanted to talk more about Olaf and why you think he's such a bad guy. Isabel, did you have some theories?
Well, I mean, maybe since he, like, abused from that one point where he, like, hit Klaus, maybe his father did that to him. So he felt like, this is what I should do to the children so they can learn what I learned. And, like, maybe his father, like, made him do chores all those times. Or maybe it was, like, a male father figure or, like, an uncle or a grandpa or something that made him this way.
I mean, I think that's, like, rather lovely of you because I never even considered, like, humanizing Count Olaf in that way. Like, ever in any of the iterations that I, like, consumed the story, I've never been like, oh, I wonder what's going on with Olaf.
You're like freak Olaf. Olaf. I don't even know his real name. Yeah, his name Olaf.
Okay, but yeah, so I think that's, like, you know, a genuine question to ask, and, like, I did, you know, I read the Wikipedia page of the series before the episode today, and I think, like, this book does go into, like, the history of, like, some of the characters, and this is, a, like, even the villains had hard lives as, like, the orphans did, and then to go back to what Kaylee was saying earlier, that, like, you know, the difference between, like everybody had bad things happen to them, but the difference was, like, people who decided
to let it affect him.
Yeah, people who decide to do the right thing and people who are like, nah, I'm gonna be evil and, like, try to steal the fortune of a child.
So, and it's so easy to get like that when people turn on you. It's like, why even be a good person? Why even, you know, hold on to this hope or whatever? But I feel like the kids had each other and maybe he had no one, so he didn't have anyone telling him to hold on to, like, being a good person and, like, you know, honor and stuff. But I also feel like his friends really, like, altered the way he acted.
Interesting.
Because, like, you know how he wasn't even that malicious until his friends were around.
Yeah.
Because his friends kind of even, like, enabled him to be like that. It's not like they were – when he was holding the baby high up and his friend came – or his, like, theater person or whatever, I assumed that they would be like, what are you doing? Because you remember how he was like, what are you doing? I thought it was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you holding that baby so high up? But it was like,
hey, man, that's not where you put it.
Yeah, like, that's not what you
that's
do.
That's dangerous.
That's mean. But, like, he was straight up, like, he was straight up just being like, they're going to, what's his name?
He was egging him on.
Yeah, basically, you know, it was just like, his friends were not doing anything to help his situation of being evil, you know?
Yeah.
You have a case of the evils.
Like, hey, man, we just want to, like, let you know that we think you're kind of evil. Like, maybe you realize that. Yeah. Like, maybe don't.
But that's what friends do.
Child.
When your friend is being evil, you say, hey, you're being evil, man.
Okay. I love it. I really never, like, that. And that, to me, I guess, is, like, a, like, maybe a failure in how I read the series, because I've never considered, like, you know, Count Olaf wasn't Voldemort to me. Like, he was, like, very, because Voldemort has, like, this whole
backstory. Background, because they said something, but in this story, they didn't even
like,
say anything.
Yeah, they're just like, Olaf is evil. He wants money. He's scary looking and he's gross.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, all right, I buy it, I guess. And
you,
like,
were just like, boo.
Yeah, boo. Olaf. But yeah, Izzy, you got some. She's opened the book.
I had a question about this person who was extremely fat and looked neither like a man or woman, nor woman. But I had a question about him. Why was he relevant to the story? Or, like, why were they relevant to the story? Because we don't know their gender.
love you. So I think you mean that character specifically, or like descriptions of all of the henchmen?
No, just him, because like in the story, like near the end when they're at the play, mm-hmm. or like quote unquote play,
quote unquote,
because they were they didn't do anything. They just kind of got pushed aside. So what was the point of them?
I think that all like the narrator is trying to be silly and funny by having like I think that like it's important that Olav has like these henchmen. That's part of his character, is that like his ego is so high, and then he has these people following him around. They're like, yes, you're amazing.
But they're lame,
amazing.
Like, you know.
And, yeah, and then so he just gave them the narrator just gave them like silly descriptions. And then whether or not the characters do things in that book doesn't really like matter necessarily, because they might do something in the next book. So like maybe in this one, the henchman that looked like neither a man or a woman was doing nothing, but next time they're gonna like kidnap the kids or whatever. It's just like a handy thing to have these characters that could do anything that is nefarious for the main bad guy.
Also, I feel like I think it wasn't like on purpose that they did this, but it was like very telling that they didn't mention them again because they were so insignificant, kind of.
Yeah. I'm
just trying to show that they're just whack people, like whatever, a man that looks like a woman, whatever, who cares?
You really think it's the dip? You think it's the dip?
I don't think it was like on purpose, but it was just kind of like, you know what I mean? This man that looks like a woman, whatever, we're never going to talk about her again.
Dang. Into the.
His transphobia came out.
the implicit bias of Lemony Snicket. An essay. Interesting.
Well, that's great. Thanks for bringing that up, Iz. Mm-hmm. So I have some questions for you guys. Some quick questions. Who is the best orphan?
Violet.
I don't think that they were, none of them were the best. Well, honestly, I feel like the baby was kind of like pointless and just kind of made things like really difficult because they had to do all this stuff for her. But at the same time, I kind of feel like the baby was like some sort of comfort. You know what I mean? Like something to take care of and take their minds off of it in a sense, you know? They always had to take care of the baby. But between Klaus and Violet, they both had such, like, significant resources to, like, put into escaping, you know? Mm-hmm. They both couldn't do it without each other. Like, they really couldn't. And I think that was, like, the whole point, you know? Like, teamwork instead of one person being the better or whatever. Kind of like people's birth charts, if you were to say, like, whatever. You want me to talk about it? I will, but.
She's like, Zodiacs, no one asked, but if you want me.
Isabel, back to the person who actually answered my question. why do you think Violet is the best orphan?
Because, like, Klaus kind of gave up when, like, Count Olaf had his henchmen take Sunny.
Mm-hmm. He went to bed.
He was like, it's goodnight. Too late.
Yeah, he was kind of stupid, I guess.
Violet kind of went like, you know what? This is my sister, and it's my responsibility to get her as the oldest sibling. So, like, I'll create this device. I don't care if it doesn't work. I'm going to try. And so, like, in the end, she got it. But, like, she got captured. But the fact is she tried to save her sister instead of going back to bed.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. Violet is the best one just because I think I'm just the youngest child. So I was like, Klaus did something. He really did something there.
He did that. Like,
but I'm just, like, a youngest sibling, so I'm just like,
you
Klaus.
Know,
like,
he's trying his best, okay?
He's a little dumb, but, like.
Isabel's also the youngest, but.
No, I know my sister wouldn't come for me. She'd go, like. She'd go, like, zoom, zoom.
Bye.
Maddie, care to comment?
Yeah, I would save her.
That sounded really, like, not real.
And that was that. That's Maddie on that subject.
I would save her.
The best
she
too.
Said I wouldn't.
Oh.
Sunny is also the best, too, just because she screams all the time.
Yeah, she's cute. She's good, like,
you know, it wouldn't be complete if it was just Klaus and...
It would be sad. I feel like she brought, like,
a little bit of happiness.
Humor. Like, what is it? What is it called?
Comedic
relief, yeah.
Yes, we figured it out together.
Yes, teamwork.
Teamwork, just like
I'm
Klaus.
I'm your Klaus.
And Isabel's Sunny.
Anyway, who's the most annoying adult?
Mr. Poe. I love him, but he doesn't listen. Also, he just doesn't have the time for the children. Like, I get it, he has two children at home. He has a wife who doesn't, like, kind of take her weight. But I feel like if he had the time before to listen to have his children, he would have, like, listened to the orphans or, like, tried to understand what they were saying instead of going like, he's just disciplining you. You guys got it.
Yeah. And coughing conveniently whenever they're like, but he hit us. He's like, whatever he did, it was fine.
I know. I was like, ew.
It was gross.
Clean your ears, bro.
Who do you think was the most annoying adult?
Kaylee. They were all equally annoying, but obviously Mr. Klaus.
Justice Strauss.
I mean, not Mr. Klaus. What the fudge? What's his name?
Mr. Count?
Yeah. Obviously Count him, Olaf. Just because Mr. Count. Yeah,
Count. Sorry.
Count Olaf.
Count Olaf.
Obviously him, because it was like, why are you putting your, like, why do you want their money so bad? Like, you can't just, like, make money another way. Like, you know what I mean? He was just so, like, he was evil. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I have to say about that.
I think he needed the money because of, like, the living situation he was in. Because, like, when the three orphans...
She's really there for Olaf. Go for it.
When the three orphans first walked into their house, they were like, this is disgusting. This is dirty. It's falling apart. But, like, maybe he, like, his theater...
troupe.
Yeah, isn't working for him, and he just, like, needs some extra money to fix
his theater troupe. Was pretty, like, ratchet. But you know, when I was reading the book, I was getting, like, personally offended because they were talking about Olaf's room, and I was like, that sounds like my room, and I was, like, getting all mad. I was like, yeah, and there was, like, eaten apple cores or something on a plate, and I was like, that's me. Like,
Kaylee is Olaf. She's not Klaus. She's Olaf.
I was like, what the heck?
How do you hope that the series ends? Even though the ending's out there and you just don't know what it is.
Depression.
What do you hope happens?
She hopes it that ends
Isabel
in depression.
Isabel says she hopes for depression.
I mean, I kind of hope that they, like, get into a better living situation, but, like, I hope it, like, ends in a terrible way. So it, like, it? Lives... Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it, like, ends in the way that it's named. A series of unfortunate events.
Okay.
Underline the word unfortunate.
Underline the word unfortunate. Kale?
Well, I feel like I'd be lying if I said I hope it ends in any other way than them being, like, perfectly fine and, like, living in a nice house like they used to and, like, with a big library. Like, you know what I mean? It's, like, it's just human nature for me to want that. So, yeah. You know, that's what I want. But
who knows?
When I was
what?
A lot of people know. But
yeah. Sorry, what were you saying?
I said when I finished the book, when I almost finished the book in, like, those last three pages, it was like, if you want to believe this is, like, a happy ending, then please stop reading. And I was like, nope. And I just kept reading. And I was like, wow, this isn't the amount of depression I wanted.
I felt like I was, sadness. For me, it was like hope. I felt like,
I was like, maybe he's testing me.
Yeah. I was like, he's testing me because there is going to be a happy ending and he's going to be like, ha ha, like all those who hoped. Like, you know what I mean? And it's going to be amazing. But it's like, I have to read the series to see that one.
For the listeners, at the very end of the book, you know, they almost, like, Violet almost marries Olaf, but she, like, gets him on the technicality that she signed with her left hand, and she is right-handed, which we knew from foreshadowing earlier in the book. And but then, like, everyone's like, woohoo! And Justice Strauss, who is the nice lady next door who let them use their library, she's like, you can live with me. And then the narrator was like, hey, guys, like, this might seem happy, and
if you are interested in believing, like, you can live the rest of your life believing that being this is what happens. Being kind of, like,
blind to reality.
Yeah, but really. But if you want to know what happens, keep reading. And what happens is the guy who's got control of their estate, he's like, you can't live with Justice Strauss. You're orphans. And we're taking you to your next relative. Let's go. And obviously, that's also going to be a bad situation. So that's the end of the story.
There's like a point in the story on like page 158 where Olaf whispers to Violet when there's like chaos happening. It was like, I'll get my hands on your fortune if it's the last thing I do, the voice hissed, and I'll have it. And when I have it, I'll kill you and your siblings with my own two hands. I feel like something he must have had a fortune. And, like, his parents...
Like, he's used to it or something?
Not necessarily used to it, but I feel like something happened to him to make him want this fortune, or, like, something related to this situation, like, made him the way that how that one experience defined him.
Yeah, like, why is the money so important to him? Like, why does he need it so bad?
Interesting.
Or maybe he's like in debt to like one of his theater friends and he's like, I need to pay it back.
You're like, maybe. Wondering why is he like he this like so love. Hard.
I love it. Well, anyway, thank you guys for coming in. I think we're gonna wrap it up. Do you have any last words to say on the subject of the series of unfortunate events?
Nepo.
Nepo.
That's what she says.
Both of them. I guess mine is also Nepo. Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thanks for coming on. And
thank you.
Keep reading. Bye. Nepo.
Nepo.
Nepo.